Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, Father, we praise you. We praise you for all that you're doing in bringing your people back to you and preserving them from the beast. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, this is going to be Preserved from the Beast, number 8. And I'm going to share this first revelation with you from Missy Pollock. She got on 6/24/21. And we called it President Trump is Late for the Meeting. Very interesting, too. And she starts out, and this is Missy, who I believe represents the bride in this text. I dreamed that I was showing President Trump pictures that my mom, I believe representing the church, which the bride is born out of. President Trump has many friends who are New Age, and the bride is showing him what the true church looks like. Okay. My mom had taken these pictures while my parents were on a recent trip. Well, a snapshot represents an image or an icon armed with the unleavened bread of the Word of God handed down from the apostles of the original church. We are able to present the true image of Christ to others who are lost or are worldly so that they can't come into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with an unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, how do you get a revelation of the glory of the Lord? Well, you get it out of his word, right? The true Jesus, not the latter Jesus, right? Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So if you get a vision of the true Jesus, you can accept that Jesus and you can come into that image by faith, right? Because he, of course, is our sign. We were seated in an auditorium seating in one of the back rows. Well, this auditorium represents, I believe, the Babylonish world stage. And Missy sitting in the back represents looking on and not being really a part of the world system. I had the pictures in a file folder that I had taken out of my pocketbook. They were laid out in a special decorative booklet that was in the file folder. President Trump seemed very interested in the pictures. It had pictures of people with a smile on their faces and their names and underneath, but I didn't know anything of them except for one, which was my mom. Well, of course, we don't know very many people in the church, right? We just know what it is, right? But I think that Trump's interest in what a Christian looks like is very positive, and it could mean that he will become a believer in the future. As I said, he has many friends that are people that work for him and so on who are New Age people, but they're not Christian. In the picture I had of my mom, she had on a flower print shirt that was white and purple. And she said, representing the fruit of Jesus, shades of purple are my mom's favorite colors, and purple represents royalty, and white, purity. Amen. Of course, the original church and its doctrines came from Christ and is an image of Christ. And they were pure in their doctrines, which made sons of God who are royalty, right? And Ephesians 5 and 27 says that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy is separated from the world, not at all like the church today. She also had dark hair again. In real life, my mom's hair is almost all white. I see restoration as in the book of Joel here. Joel 2 and 25 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." And Psalm 103 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy desire with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." There's one particular eagle that is a good example of this. There wasn't any picture of my dad, because he probably represents our Heavenly Father, who is spirit, and that we can't see. And the Bible commands us not to make any image of God, right? I wanted to show President Trump pictures of my boys and family, so I took some out of my pocketbook. The pocketbook is the Bible, or the Word of God, with parables, types, shadows, pictures of what Jesus looks like, and of whom we are to look like as disciples. We are to come into his image, right? So, let me just say that these pictures of Missy's boys and family represent showing others the love of Christ in us, which is our fruit, and gives them an idea of who Christ is, so that they too would want to come into his image. True. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, "We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." And reconciled is the word that means an exchange. His life for ours. We take on his image, and he took on our sin, right? Amen. So that this could come to pass. I started to show them to him, and President Trump said he needed to get going, and that he was running late for the meeting, unquote. All right. He had to leave because he was running late for a meeting. I looked at my watch and the time was 7:10. And she said, "There's a delay." In the natural, it seems to everyone that Trump is late in reclaiming his rightful elected position as President of the United States again. But God's always on time and never late, right? I wondered why he ran late looking at the pictures, knowing that the meeting was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. So now she said it was 7:10. He was 10 minutes late. And he said that the meeting couldn't start without him because he was leading the meeting. Well, of course, he's the president, right? And this could represent the Trump/Cyrus parallel with the man-child in our day. She put a note there. Let me just say this. I'm not sure about what this means, but could 7 be July and 10 be the 10th day of July? When, of course, it was discovered that he was late and should have left on the 7 o'clock, right? Had been there at 7 o'clock. So it started at 7. So could this mean he will be 10 days late to reappear as president since he was leading the meeting? So 7 would be July, and the 10th would be the 10th of July, okay? In that theory, let me call it. Or is there another meaning? 7 is the number of perfection, and 10 is the number of law. And law brings judgment. The Trump administration has been leaking out that there will be 10 days of darkness. Could this come to fulfill the law? They're bringing the deep state into judgment and tribunals and executions and so on and so forth, right? Okay, so if either one of these is right, I'm not sure, but at least we can see there is a delay involved. And one of the common complaints of the Trump administration is the number of deep state people, including bankers, who have tried to hack into the money for the new economy. And they keep arresting them. They keep throwing out these bluffs, say, hey, we're going to start. So they have to go do something. And as soon as they do it, of course, they stick their head up and they catch them. People are frustrated. Why? We keep hearing this, that, and the other, and it don't ever come to pass. Guess what? This is what's happening, okay? I'm just telling you. They're impressing people. Oh, it's about to happen. They have to stop this. The deep state has to stop this at any cost. They'll sacrifice all their soldiers to stop this. Yeah. So they run out there to do something, to threaten Trump or to stop the economic move or whatever. And when they do, they catch them. Then they do it again and they catch them. How many of you know we call these the stupid demons? Right? Okay. Well, since Daniel, as a type of the man-child, was anointed over Babylon, just as Cyrus, as a type of Trump, was taking it over, could both be late? I mean, these guys showed up together, right, here. And could they both be late? Not just Trump here. So I asked this question of the Lord, and I got an answer. But I'm going to share that with you in just a few minutes. So continuing with this revelation, we got up to leave, and I turned around and saw his son, Baron, which means nobleman, freeman, warrior. And I believe that this represents the fruit of Trump, who is certainly a nobleman, and who has stayed free from the deep state, and he is a mighty warrior. So I think that Baron here represents his fruit. He was behind us sitting, and I realized that he was looking over our shoulders at the pictures too. And I said, "Hi, Baron, how are you doing?" And I don't remember him saying anything in response. I left the building and went across to another building and went inside. And President Trump was in there, and there was food sitting around on tables, like kind of like a pot blessing. He mentioned that he had gotten back from working at 3 o'clock and had been busy and needed to get something to eat quick before the meeting. I was hungry too, and I wanted to get a quick bite before the meeting. Remember, this is the meeting he was late for, right? Well, 3 o'clock, I believe, could represent when Jesus cried out, "It's finished," and died. Well, okay, so that would be the end of the delay, right? Around noon, while Jesus was on the cross, total darkness surrounded the area until about 3 p.m. when he cried out, "It is finished," and then died. The Trump slash man-child crucifixion and death will soon be over, and then they will enjoy a time of feasting on the Word during the great revival that's coming during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And, of course, it's going to start even before the tribulation, but it will last into the tribulation. Since there is a parallel, Trump's ascension to the presidency could be parallel to the man-child's resurrection to the throne authority. So kind of a picture is coming together here, you know, and we're headed that way. The only thing we know is there is a delay, okay? A word by faith at random for President Trump, and my finger came down on, consider your ways. And that's in Haggai 1 and 7. And we'll read it in context 7 through 11. 7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. Well, if you remember, Cyrus slash Trump, whom God said would build his house in Isaiah 45, here it is. Read Isaiah 45, and you'll get the picture. He was ordered to go and build the house of God. Right? Verse 9. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, said the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lieth waste, while ye run every man to his own house. Well, for a confirmation here, this random confirmation, it could be that the people have become discouraged and are distracted by building their own house and are no longer supporting Trump and the cause with faith and prayer. And this way may be a partial reason for the delay. All right. Verse 10. Therefore, for your sake, the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. The reason for the delay. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Well, currently, the world is experiencing supply and food shortages from supply chain disruptions as the economy spirals downward, and the Lord allows the world and the worldly to live under the curse, even if they are in positions of great power. God can and will frustrate the plans of men when they aren't in line with his agenda. Well, destroying the old economy and bringing up the new is something that they are in the process of doing. And destroying the old economy is, of course, going to destroy the deep state. That's where it was designed to make them rich. And then she says, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for what I represent, and got Psalm 55, 16, in context, 16 through 23. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noonday will I complain and moan, and he will hear my voice. And yes, you remember Ahasuerus heard the voice of the bride and ended up saving God's people, right? He heard the voice because she was the bride. She was brilliant and beautiful to him, and so on. He hath redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for they are many that strove with me. Well, the bride is doing her work under great opposition from the false Christians who attack her and don't believe in her. Verse 19, God will hear and answer them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. The men who have no changes. Yes, there are many claim Christianity, but there's no change there to prove it. And who fear not God. Yes, that's almost all of Christianity is in that position. They don't fear God. Verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as were at peace with him. We've gotten this many times about the faction who consider it their job to destroy the bride and the man child. He hath profaned his covenant. His mouth was smooth as butter, but his heart was war. Yep, that's them. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Yes. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, wilt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So the bride is being saved, contrary to everything that the faction wants, and protected and provided for during these trying times, and the factious enemies in the church and the deep state will be judged. They're all Edomites, hating their brothers, making war against their own brothers, right? Whether it's the faction in the church or the deep state. And I asked Father for a word by faith at random for the dream, and I got Matthew 22 and 42. In context, 41 through 46. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord?" See, there is a... You know, Jesus was both the Son of Man and the Son of God, you see. And which one are you talking about here? This is what they don't understand. Verse 44, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I put thine enemies underneath thy feet." If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions, because he turned it around on them and put them on the spot. Well, the Pharisees were confused on how the Christ was the son of David in his flesh, but the son of God in his spirit. They were confused on that. And Jesus was pointing out the two opposing facts, you know, concerning these two parts of Jesus. Romans 1 and 4 says, "Who is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness." Now here we go. It was the Spirit man in Jesus who was the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Even Jesus, our Lord. So, the Lord will silence the factious enemies in the deep state and the apostate church when the man-child, David's, are anointed along with Cyrus, right? So, he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit, but according to the letter, he was the son of David. Okay. And in verse, let's see, I'm continuing here. When I saw Missy's revelation of Cyrus, Trump, being late to take over Babylon, I thought the David man-childs would be late also, because in the book of Daniel, he was anointed to rule over Babylon the same night that Cyrus took over. So here you've got two people taking over Babylon, Daniel, a type of the man-child, and Trump, a type of Cyrus. So I'm thinking, okay, could they both be delayed? And then Vanessa sent me this revelation, Vanessa Weeks, and we called it, David is late for the meeting too. Okay. Now, this is not just chance, obviously, right? And when Missy was telling her dream of President Trump being delayed, I remembered this dream that I had, Vanessa said. All of us here in UBM were meeting in a new building, and there were several rooms in this building. Well, we know that God is building his tower. It's called the Tower of the Flock, which is, of course, the New Jerusalem being born in his bride out of heaven, right? We're being born from above, and the New Jerusalem is being born in the earth from above. It's coming down out of heaven, right? People don't understand what that means. This is not happening back in the far end of the millennium here we're talking about. This is happening. The bride is being born from above. And John said that this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven was the bride. Well, Ephesians 2, 21 and 22 says, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. So each one of us is a separate building, and we're all put together to come to make this temple in the Lord. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So this new building that we're talking about is this. You know, many people, she said, started to come through the door on the right side. It seemed that they were all young people in their 20s. Well, I believe that these are the elect of God who are young in the Lord because they were stunted with apostate religious church doctrines, or they are coming out of the world, and it's always because of tribulation, right? They will be coming to the bride and the man-child ministries to be taught in the wilderness. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5 says this, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Speaking of the bride. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee. The Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings of the to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then shalt thou see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea. You remember what the sea represents, the multitudes of peoples, tribes, and tongues, right? The abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Amen. So she went on, I remember five young women coming in with long blonde hair and wearing long dresses. And she says in parenthesis, they are submitted to the sun, you know, UN/SON, and so that's why their hair is blonde, right? The sun, the color of the sun, and are virgins that are not defiled with women, representing the harlot apostate churches. This is true. We know that it talks about the man-child not being defiled with these women, too. doesn't it? Yeah, Revelation 14. And there were five of them. So this is representing those who by the grace, five is the number of grace, of God will be under the man-child ministry. You remember when Jesus first came, by the grace of God, these apostles were gathered together unto him. He called them disciples at that time because he hadn't yet sent them forth, which is an apostle, right? And so by grace, these men were chosen by God to be in that position to learn from the master. The meeting was supposed to start, but David, but David was not there yet. Okay, the meeting was supposed to start. So he's late for the meeting, right? Yeah. Well, the man-child Davids are delayed just as the trump was delayed in the revelation we just shared, since they're running parallel. You can't move one without moving the other, right? And she went on to say, we were in what looked like an auditorium, and I heard Michael tell some men that David would be late because he was busy. David would be late. So now we got two revelations. We got the revelations that the trump is going to be late, and now the David man-child is going to be late. Well, as we mentioned in the late trump revelation, hackers were busy trying to game the system. And this is happening. In the David situation, we have the same exact thing. Hackers, like the leader of the faction of our deep state, who has stalked our women and tried to keep our materials workers busy with his hacking so that they delay to get the gospel out, right? Just as the deep state actors are being caught, so it is with this man who is their parallel. Could this delay be biblical in that judgment on these wicked will be performed at that time? Well, look at this. This is interesting. Luke 12, 45 through 46. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, as the factions in both the government and church do, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, which they are. We call them the stupid spirits because they act like that. They act like they're drunk. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. Okay, it said, my Lord delayeth his coming. Okay, so while they thought he was delaying his coming, they were beating the servants. So, she went on to say, while we were waiting for him, I was getting tired, and I went into the adjoining room and put on my pajamas and went to rest on a bed. These pajamas were blue and white. And when my husband, Barry, came in, this Vanessa, husband Barry came in and told me to get up, I was wearing a blue and white nightgown. Well, I think blue probably represents heavenly and white purity, right? So maybe a warning to me to not get weary waiting for the David man-child ministry to be anointed, because it was the virgins that slept while the bridegroom tarried. Something that wasn't expected. Matthew 25:1-5. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and five were wise. Remember, the five wise got up to follow the man-child, right? For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, there he is, he's late, right? They all slumbered and slept. Well, this could represent that as we are in the continual rest, not striving in our own strength, that we must be careful not to let it turn into complacency and weak and weariness in well-doing. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And, of course, we got a job to do, and it is to support this revolution in politics because of the very evil that had taken over politics in the country and in the world, and that very evil is Satan himself. So, and he does this in order to kill and destroy people. So it's a good opposition that we have here. I asked the Lord for a word about this delay and received by faith at random Acts 1:13. And my finger was on, they went up. This is clearly a phrase that we're familiar with as to the man-child receiving throne authority, right? And notice that the taken up, and in this text you'll see the lifted up phrases in this text. Okay? So in context, it'll be Acts 1:6-14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Something that they were looking for that was not going to happen, right? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Okay, so, yep, God's got a timing for everything, including this man-child and David ministry, man-child ministries, anointing. He's got a timing for that. He said, and so he may not show it to you. 7:10 may not be, you know, something that he is showing us for sure, but it's hidden in a parable, you know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, there it is again, right? And a cloud took him out of their sight. Of course, we know he went to the throne of God, right? So this is representing the catching up to the throne of the David man-child ministers to be anointed and returned to start their ministry. Verse 10, and while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up, there it is again, from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Amen. So, verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room. And this was, of course, just before and in preparation for their anointing by the Holy Spirit, right? Because it was right after this that they too got filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And because of that, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They got the heavenly anointing, and they began to exercise authority in the kingdom of God. And, of course, they were brought to that position because of Jesus, who was the first to have that authority in the kingdom of God and taught them to do the same. As I was thinking of not being weary in waiting, the Lord brought this scripture to mind. Hebrews 10:35-39. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. So what do I say? I say, be patient and wait. He will not tarry. He will come. Both of these entities will come. They will come to power. Just rest and be at peace. Like I said, they keep putting out a scenario. It's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. And of course, when the enemy sticks their head up and says, what can we do to stop this? Well, they take them off, right? They know what they're doing. Okay, here's Vanessa's prayer. She said, Father, thank you that you shall come and not tarry. It looks like you are late sometimes, but cause us to not cast away our boldness and not become weary. Thank you for patience, which is a fruit of your Spirit, and that we will receive the promise after we have done your will. In Jesus' name, amen. True. Thank you, Father. Okay, this next revelation was Claire Pinar, 6:11-21. The bride is nourished and transported into the heavenlies. And this has a very interesting physical analogy also, which I'll share with you. But as we saw above, after the man-child Jesus was caught up to the throne, his apostles, whom John said represented the bride, were also anointed to rule, right? Very interesting. A little snapshot there. I dreamed I was standing outside a huge supermarket store that had a warehouse attached to it. There were light brown brick walls with a big red sign that said Depot and Delivery. And I think this probably represents the beast system of the world and its ways of storing up here on earth, as well as the current and future oppressive debt slave system of buying and selling being run by the deep state. Okay. Yes, it is a slave system. And the deep state, have stored up in their warehouse many great and wonderful things for themselves that they couldn't even spend in a lifetime. But it doesn't matter. It's greed and hatred for not only the church, but the natural man on earth. They want to destroy many so that they can have the earth for themselves. They call it depopulation. I watched multitudes of people standing in line trying to get the managers, I believe representing the deep state banker elites, of the supermarket store to buy their produce or products from them as a reasonable price, and then the managers would sell them right back to the self same people. You think that's crazy? Well, this is exactly what happens in the old system of taxes. They send out taxes to the banksters who loan it back to us on interest. See, why don't we cut out the middleman? Well, that's exactly what Nasara and Jassara is about to do. And that's why they have to stop it. And the global currency reset, too. They have to stop it because it's going to plunder them. So the new system in which all taxes go straight into the U.S. Treasury. Under Nasara Jassara, that's where the taxes go, U.S. Treasury. It doesn't go to the banksters in England and to the Pope and then get loaned back to us. Okay? And it costs us. Why not just use it? We'd save all that money, right? So, anyway, she said, in the dream, it reminded me of what communism looks like. Yeah, that's right. The prices were set, and unless people had offered something to these managers for them to sell on their behalf, they were not able to purchase from the supermarket store either. The people were essentially buying back their own produce at a higher price than what they had been paid that was determined by the managers. So all the people were at a loss. Absolutely. Everybody lost except for the greasy deep state, right? They could not buy anywhere else and were enslaved to this system. This is true. You know, this system used to be known as the company store. And company stores have had a reputation as monopolistic institutions funneling workers' incomes back to the owners of the company. And this is because company stores often face little or no competition because the workers' earnings, on account of their geographical remoteness and the inability and or unwillingness of other nearby merchants, if any existed, to accept company script or both. And prices, therefore, were typically high, allowing purchases on credit, enforced a kind of debt slavery, obligating employees to remain with the company until the debt was cleared. So I had to keep them in slavery. That was our system, too. You know, many people would rack up so much debt that they were never able to pay it off and would end up never being able to leave the company. Well, this was also true of tenant farming, which was harmful to the tenants, with many cases of high interest rates, unpredictable harvests, and unscrupulous landlords and merchants often keeping tenant farm families severely indebted. And of course, debt is not a system that God designed in the Bible. It was giving and receiving back multiplied. The debt was not a Bible system. Contrary, totally contrary. And it, because it makes people rich, the people at the top who become more and more criminal. And the debt was often compounded year on year, leaving the cropper vulnerable to intimidation and shortchanging and so on and so forth. A new system of credit, the crop lien, became closely associated with sharecropping. And under this system, a planter or a merchant extended a line of credit to the sharecropper while taking the year's crop as collateral. And the sharecropper would then draw food and supplies all year long. And when the crop was harvested, the planter or merchants who held the lien sold the harvest for the sharecropper and settled the debt. Also, the Nasara-Jisara law will wreck the deep state system, so they cannot, for now anyway, plunder the people. How long it lasts? I think it probably lasts till about the middle of the tribulation period, and then it'll be over maybe. But at least God's people will have been able to rebuild the kingdom, which is the man-child's job, right? Rebuild the kingdom. Of course, we know that the deep state are very much against Nasara, Jisara, and global currency reset, et cetera, et cetera. This 4th of July, Independence Day, could represent getting free from the British and the Vatican banksters, the aliens, if you remember Independence Day. The aliens, once again. You know, the British never did turn loose. They constantly wanted to destroy the independence of Americans. And they did. And then, she said, I saw Kanye West. Claire said, I saw Kanye West. And he was in a black convertible with his family, and not the Kardashians, but another family whose members were all black. He was trying to sell black cattle to the managers. They would not purchase the cattle because the people could only sell one type of good from one address. Well, this could be representing that the deep state will begin to persecute the harlot church and restrict their churches and what they can teach or sell to the people. Cain recently made a conversion over to Christianity, but he got tangled up with the large mega church preachers who used his fame to line their pocketbooks. The black cattle could represent their leavened meat that they are trying to sell to the world and the worldly people. Of course, Jesus said his meat was to do the will of the Father, right? But their meat is to do their own will. It's leavened meat. They're building their own kingdom. However, he'd found a loophole, and he had many addresses all over the world, and he was using them to get ahead of this system and remain wealthy, when people all around him were starving and desperate, and he was smiling and laughing and was very sure of himself. Okay. So many times we refer to the scriptures as addresses, right? I wonder if all these could mean many addresses all over the world represent picking and choosing what verses that the apostate preachers will teach and the people, so that the people will have a loophole to keep on living in the world through their greasy grace doctrines. See, people like these ear-tickling preachers. They like them picking and choosing verses. They like to jump over verses. They don't understand or it doesn't agree with what they think profits them, you see. And so they choose these people, and they get what they pay for. 2 Peter 2, 1-3 says, But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, which is a license to excess, a license to do what you want to do, even when you've been bought with a price, right? And many follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Yes, people don't like Christianity, mainly because they've never seen it. They were raised, a lot of them were raised up in these churches, and they saw the hypocrisy and the foolishness. And they left, and they were pretty well inoculated to never go back, right? So they ended up being enemies of the status quo. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now we know the deep state's done that, and these apostate leaders have done the same thing, making merchandise of the people. All the people standing in line were mostly black, and they looked unbelievably poor and malnourished, like the poorest communities in Africa. And she has in quotation here, those who are dark in spirit prey on each other, and while some get fat, most suffer, and they do nothing to help each other. And yes, this is the spiritual state of all those trapped in apostate Christianity. As I walked around the warehouse, I saw lovely fresh fruit like pineapples, guavas, watermelons, and much fresh red meat. And I just picked it out of the cooling fridges and went on my way. I was not stealing, as people saw me do it. I was not in a hurry either. I looked over all the fresh goods and selected the best for myself. No one could stop me, and I had nothing to offer or to pay with. But that was all right. Yes, we don't. It's freely given to us, right? And he tells us, freely you have received, freely give. But the preachers don't listen to that. They have to make money off of it because they can't trust God because God's not for them. So they have to put people under the law, right? Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Well, we can all partake freely of the fruit of the Word. The Word is designed to meet our every need. God provides for us through the promises of His Word, supernaturally, and even in the wilderness tribulation to come. This will be a time when you need to know this. Amen. Revelation 12 and 6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So they're going to feed the woman in the wilderness. Now, you know Jesus did both. He fed the people. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And he fed them the Word. Amen. So it will happen again. Then the scene changed, and it was dark. I was watching a friend try to have a birthday party in a restaurant, but there was no food, no drinks, and the lights were out in the venue and on the street. Well, we went by a local fast food place, you know, and went to go in, and the door was locked. You had to go the drive-thru because they didn't have anybody. They didn't have enough employees to keep the inside running. So, I believe that we're seeing a food shortage out there and a famine as well. And power outages, you know, as they've predicted. They predicted all these things. I'm talking about the Trump administration and the people that they use to leak these things out. So they decided to take the party back to her house. But at the house, it was also completely dark, and there was no electricity lighting up the street lights or homes. Well, this could represent the coming 10 days of darkness, during the birth of the Manchild Ministries Worldwide. They have been warning us for a while to prepare for blackouts and power outages, which we have been seeing here and there. And if you don't know it, you just kind of look around, you will find that there are electrical contractors everywhere, an army of them. And they're preparing to convert to free energy. If you don't know that, you'll hear the lie of what it could be. But the truth is that they're preparing to convert to free energy, just as Tesla planned. But the deep state stopped him, because they couldn't make any money that way, right? So that's just a natural thing that I see here. I know we're headed towards darkness, true. But in both these previous scenes, she said, I was a spectator. The scene changed again, and I was in a white car driving around a suburban area. Well, suburban areas are outside of main cities, representing sanctification from the Babylonian harlot city of the world, right? I was driving high up in the air and not on the road. Now, this could have a spiritual connotation and a physical connotation. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and this is where we need to stay. In heavenly places, not upon the earth, where judgment can fall, right? But there is a literal thing coming like this, and it might be, since if you're not on talking to any of the insiders or listening to what they're saying is coming and reporting along in agreement with one another, you may think this is crazy. So let me read on here. This enabled me to see a highway bridge imploding to my left. It looked like a smaller version of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. So she's driving a white car around a suburban area, but she's driving it in the air and not on the road. And now we look down at the roads, right? And a bridge is imploding on her left. It looked like a smaller version of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, but it was not red, it was dark silver. Then to my right, I saw a huge traffic jam and other carnage on the road. It looked like this city was in complete disarray. Okay. You can imagine, too, if the electricity goes out, no lights are working and people are dodging one another and whatever. But let me share this with you. On a physical level, cars are coming that do not need the gridlock roads and bridges. They are, like she was doing, going through the air. And they are anti-gravity cars, which the deep state has been hiding. Along with, I think, about 6,000 other inventions that would greatly enhance Christianity and even the world. Trump promised when he was going into office that he was going to reveal and release these things that the deep state has stolen and hidden. And so on. Now, whether we get to use them on a national scale before the curse closes back in is yet to be seen, talking about these anti-gravity cars, right? So, on a spiritual level, judgment is coming to Babylon and the harlot church, represented by destruction on both the left and the right of the highway, right, is coming. So, just trying to share both aspects here of this situation. Sometimes, you know, Jesus shared true revelations about nature that he applied to people's lives. You know, both were true, So sometimes dreams are that way too. Then I turned right to get to my home. Even though I had not been there before, I knew I was going home. I was driving above the road, and every traffic light was green. There was sunlight pouring into the car. Yes, the cars have a lot of bubble-type things, which let a lot of light in. And I was warm and calm and saw a glow around me. I don't think other people even noticed that the car was not on the ground. Well, it wouldn't have been noticeable if it was something that was commonly happening, right? Nobody'd say, oh, there's one, look, there's a car. No. They wouldn't be saying that, would they? And I do believe this is coming. I don't know how far it's going to be spread before the door closes, basically. And this could also represent a hundredfold fruit, perfection in Christ. The bride will be clothed with the lampros garment, bright and pure, which are the righteous acts of the saints, and she lives in heavenly places in Christ, you know. Said the sunlight was coming into the car. Amen. Could be a lot of truth, right? I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Isaiah 6, 8 through 9. With my finger on, here am I, and go. Well, Isaiah 6, 8, and 9 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, go. And tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now, of course, this was spoken in Matthew 13, speaking about the disciples who were asking Jesus, why did he speak to the Jews in parables? Because they wanted them to understand, and they weren't. And Jesus said, well, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Whoa! That's a reprobation that came over the Jews when the man-child Jesus came the first time in Matthew 13. And I believe the same exact thing is about to happen, except this time it's with the so-called Christian people, apostates, who were in the same shape as those Jews were. And when he comes in the corporate man-child body this time, so expect when the man-child comes there to be a reprobation of the people of God who this time are, yes, that's right, the Christians. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And I'm not denying, of course, that there's going to be a lot of apostates that follow Jesus. Some will be reprobated. Some will follow. Okay. The Lord knows the hearts. Okay. Here's a revelation given to Andrew Galinas, 6:16-21. We called it a tribulation level event. Not necessarily in the tribulation, but a tribulation level event. Apostate leaders exposed. Yes. And Andrew said, in my dream, I was in my personal dwelling place on the top floor of an apartment complex. Okay, I believe this is representing dwelling on the top of Mount Zion in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:21-22 says, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So it was an apartment complex. In other words, many buildings put together. We represent, each one of us, a house, right? A house for the Lord. Suddenly there was a tribulation-level event of some sort just beginning to start. And I remember thinking that what was about to come down from above would hit the upper floors first. What precisely the event was evident while in the dream, but I cannot recall it now. Well, let me say that the Trump administration has been leaking out what they call an event that is about to come, that they say will be staggering to the unstable. Basically, I'm not quoting them exactly, but this is what they are talking about. And while we didn't know exactly what this is, I will say this, that judgment always starts at the top of the leadership first and begins at the house of God, as the word says. And many wicked leaders are being revealed. I'm talking about in the church and in the government. And after D-class happens, and everybody knows what they have done, anyone who is connected to them in any way to these factions in the church or state will be running from it. They don't want to be caught to be considered one of these people. Isaiah 2:12-17 says, "For there shall be a day of the Lord of hosts upon all that is proud and haughty, and upon all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every lofty tower, and upon every fortified wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant imagery. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." Amen. The Lord is going to have a D-class. Trump is going to have a D-class. And by the time he gets through, there's going to be an awful lot of people changing sides and fleeing from the deep state, which they find out is the most terrible people that have lived on the face of the earth. So, Andrew says, "I quickly ran to the patio and looked down." And what he was looking down on is that evil city of Babylon, I believe. There were people rushing in every direction. It wasn't pandemonium, but everyone seemed to be working on getting themselves and their families somewhere else as soon as possible. Yeah. And when the event starts, many people will wake up, and God's elect will wake up spiritually and flee Babylon and apostasy for the wilderness. And the leading of the man, child, and the bride. Remember, I've said that who would follow these people as long as all of the people are in these little sheltered cliques of religious Babylon and they worship their religion and they worship their preacher and so on? Who's going to follow them unless God shakes things up? And that's what he's going to do. There was a forest wilderness just at the edge of the apartment property. I believe this is representing that we are right at the edge of the tribulation. And it's going to shock people. Amen. I'm not saying that everything we're talking about here happens in the tribulation, but certainly the tribulation is being prepared by the things that are happening. I could faintly hear a voice heralding or prophesying in a bellowing voice out of another patio some distance away. Then, just as the voice started to fade, I felt the Holy Spirit fill me with words, and I began prophesying over the scattering sheep-like crowd. I don't remember everything I said, only some of it. Most of the people below paused and started looking up at me to listen when I started to speak. And I remember speaking with complete confidence. And when I said, "We are going to go into the wilderness," something most of them don't believe, now. So the very next thing you see, he's telling them, "We're going into the wilderness now." That means it's close, right? "Once there, the Lord will provide for all of our needs. If you want to live, then follow us there." Okay, after this great shaking and people are scattering and they want to know what to do, then they hear these prophetic voices. And the prophetic voices of the end-time Elijah ministries of repentance, as well as the Man-Child Company, will be a light and guidance for the people, leading them into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Amen. God's giving is right now through this Trump administration, redistributing the wealth to people who will be able to supply the needs of God's people in the tribulation. Then the scene changed. There was a crowd now gathered in a large cathedral-like hall, which that kind of indicates Babylonish religion of buying and selling, as we'll see. I began walking around to see what everyone was doing. The place was piled up with material goods. It looked like a mashup of Goodwill and Aladdin's Cave of Wonders. There were all sorts of old and new electronics, various large and small appliances, clothes, jewelry, toys, books, and so on. The junk was piled high all along the walls, and the crowd was busying themselves with scavenging through it all. The people had a sort of crazed Black Friday sale fire in their eyes. I continued watching both the young and old excitedly rummaging through all the stuff for several minutes until I had finally seen enough of this Vanity Fair nonsense. And he puts in parenthesis, representing the materialistic lusts and the greed of Babylon and the apostates in the church. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out." Well, you know, folks, that when they left Egypt to go into the wilderness, there wasn't much they could carry with them. And before long, that was all gone. "But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Well, let me say that there will be a collapse of the deep state economy and a sudden infusion of money to jumpstart the new economy. And it will be a buyer's paradise, and some forget that we are stewards in the New Testament and not owners at all. Because Jesus said in Luke 14:33, listen to what he said, Don't listen to the tither people. Listen to what he said. Luke 14:33. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, not 10%, all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. 10%, folks, was Old Testament. Okay, the New Testament, you are simply a steward. You are not an owner. And you handle it for God, who is the owner. Therefore, we have to have God's permission to buy. You can't just go after a crazed spirit to go buy. And then what are you going to do when you have to pick up and go into the wilderness and you can't take it with you? Yeah. Listen, it all belongs to him. Figure it out. I began shouting over the banter. What are you all doing? You don't need this junk. These are the world's desires. Stop this madness. This would have probably calmed the frenzy entirely if it weren't for a Protestant or evangelical pastor who was not a Catholic priest. I found him walking around through the crowd handing out these gaudy-looking plastic prayer bead necklaces coated in cheap gold paint that was chipping off. And I became angry upon seeing this and told the so-called pastor, "Stop giving them this Catholic junk." Then I slapped them out of his hands onto the floor. Reminds you of another preacher. Matthew 21:12-13. And Jesus entered into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. And he saith unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And then he said, I woke up. Well, isn't it amazing? You know, that's a very interesting. Okay, Isaiah 32:9-20 says this. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, you careless daughters. Sounds similar to the Revelation here. Give ear to my speech. For days beyond a year shall ye be troubled, you careless women. Of course, women were used like that in the Old Testament and in the New to represent bodies of people, right? For the vintage shall fail. In other words, there's no fruit. You think you're going to fly away? There's no fruit. How are you going to fly away without fruit? And he goes on to say, the ingathering shall not come. That's the big harvest, right? The ingathering harvest shall not come. You ain't flying nowhere. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall smite upon the breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Yet their joy because they're set free to do whatever they want to do, and they're not bearing any fruit. They're thorns and briars. Listen, you know, they think they're ready to fly. But whether you fly or whether you stay, you still have to have the same thing, fruit. And they don't think that's necessary. 14. For the palace shall be forsaken. Yeah, you know they're big palaces. The populous city shall be deserted. The hill and the watchtower shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. Yes, you know, Revelation 18 speaks about it, right? That these churches are all going to be dens of demons, right? Prisons of demons. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. And what? The wilderness. The wilderness is what? Revelation 12, Revelation 17 tells us it's the tribulation period. The people of God went through the wilderness to get to their promised land. The Spirit shall be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field. So they didn't bear any fruit in Egypt. While they were feeding from the flesh pots and obeying the old man of the land. In other words, their flesh. So being driven into the wilderness is where they're going to bear their fruit. How can they escape it? And the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. In other words, great fruit, very large, is going to be in the wilderness. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness. And they don't have justice in their system now. You know, the early church fathers, through Jesus, ordained a system that they have totally departed from in the church. Fivefold ministry, leadership, and different gifts, and ministries, and so on. So they just departed from all that. They went to the Nicolaitan error that the Lord said he hated. Amen. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness shall abide in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. My people shall abide in a peaceable habitation. My people. Many of the people who say they are the people of God are not owned by him. It's very obvious. All you have to do is, well, as I've said before, take a teenager that's never read the Bible, let them sit down and read the Bible and tell you what it says. You'll come out better that way. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's common sense, you know. You'll come out better than somebody that's gone to the cemetery. In safe dwellings and in quiet resting places. But it shall hail in the downfall of the forest, and the city shall be utterly laid low. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Amen. So, okay, here's another one given to Andrew Galinas. And that was on 6/16/21. And the man-child ministers heal God's elect. Is what he got a revelation of. He said on 6/15/21, I heard a news report about an elderly Asian woman in her mid-90s, who was stabbed several times while walking down the sidewalk in San Francisco. Her attacker was a man who had many prior offenses. NTD News reported that because of the looseness of the laws there, it's unclear whether the attacker will be charged with any crime at all. Well, this is what happens to liberal cities. They continue to go downhill, downhill, downhill until nothing's a crime. In fact, the police are the criminals. You know how stupid they get? Yeah, and it's because they're a bunch of communists and they want anarchy so that they can take over and rule in the midst of it, right? So here's an obvious crime that they're ignoring because, well, every other crime is legal. So why not? Then I had this dream. So that wasn't a part of the dream now. That was actual. This is the dream. Okay. Then I had this dream where I was a physician healer, and which, of course, we're all supposed to be, spiritually speaking, not physically speaking, because physicians, you know, do it a different way, totally, than anything Jesus or his disciples ever did, right? They trust in the arm of the flesh, and it's very deadly, as people are finding out now who took the vaccine, right? So anyway, he was a physician healer, and I was in the top floor of a high-rise hospital. There's that high-rise again, that top floor again. Or care center in some sort. As I stood talking with a couple of other fellow physicians, a woman representing San Francisco in some way approached us. Well, I believe that this represents the spirit of lawlessness and anarchy that is there. By the article he read is very clear. She had an attitude with me from the beginning when she sharply informed me that the elderly woman who had been stabbed multiple times, so this came into his dream, right, and survived, would be transferred to our facility shortly. She cared nothing for the wounded woman. I asked her, how would you feel if you were ever one who needs help? With a smug smirk, as she turned to walk away, she replied, "Oh, I'm not worried about that." Yes, they're blind to that. They don't want to hear about that. Never mind the golden rule, right? Well, this represents the spirit of lawlessness and anarchy that has taken over the country, especially the liberal bastions. These are the crime capitals of the United States, the big liberal cities. That's where most of the crime in the United States is. And that is because nothing is wrong if you want to live wrong. If you like wrong, then nothing is wrong. How can you condemn people for doing exactly what you're doing? So there's no law and order. And people are fleeing them by the many thousands because they've become totally stupid. Okay? Fleeing. Even liberals have had enough. And of course they became these liberal bastions because they took over the mainstream media, and Antifa and BLM rules the streets and has aborted justice for the people. It's a cold and uncaring spirit that has come to possess many of the rebellious in this country. Amen. And it's just amazing. Why would people vote for someone who historically have destroyed their own states, their own cities, run the cops off, and everybody lives in fear of their life? Who would vote these people in? Only somebody that's in just as bad a shape, right? So we know that Biden did not go in there, not any way legal, right? And a lot of the other people, too, they all cheated their way in, all of them. And they destroyed their states and their cities. A few seconds later, a very, very small woman was wheeled into our presence. She was tiny, about the size of a one-year-old child. Okay, so this is not likely. So this has to be spiritual, right? And it means a small body of people. I felt an overwhelming sense of compassion flood over me, and I told her anything she needed of what I had was hers. She smiled at me as the other physicians started dressing her wounds and helping her to put new, clean, white clothes on. And I think that this tiny woman represents the small body of God's elect bride who have been abused by the Pharisaical apostate leaders who are in anarchy against God and His ordained authority and His word, which is His ordained authority too. Yeah, they mistreat anybody that is righteous and pure. Psalm 5 and 7, Song, S-O-N-G, Song of Solomon. The watchmen that go about the city found me. They smote me. Why would the watchmen smite the bride? They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my mantle from me. That's a sign of submission, right? From me. Yes, if you go sit underneath them, they will take away your submission to the Lord too. Amen. Next thing I remember, I was in a shopping lobby downstairs when I noticed a large fashion advertising poster in one of the storefronts. I became disgusted when I realized that the model on the poster was a transgender man dressed in women's attire. Oh boy. Representing a homosexual spirit that has also taken over and has been promoted by the mainstream media. Jeremiah 23 and 14 says this. In the prophets of Jerusalem also I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that none doth return from his wickedness. Well, why? Why? Everybody's once saved, always saved. Why worry about that? They are all of them become unto me as Sodom, and as the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They became this way to the Lord, this corrupt, evil bunch. I then walked away from the window and sat down on a reclining seat nearby. As I closed my eyes, I could feel myself beginning to doze off, representing the rest and the faith of the Lord, right? Then I felt the very real prick of a syringe in my right upper arm. I jolted up and saw a young woman in a short red dress making a quick getaway. She looked quite pleased with the success of her mischievous act, as she had a big evil grin on her face and was giggling to herself as she began to quickly scale the stairs. Representing, of course, the vaccine agenda of the deep state and their plan to cull the Christians in the Bible Belt with a new Delta COVID variant strain of the virus. Whether it's real or not, right? Nobody knows what COVID looks like. Everybody that's tested, I think one guy did 150,000 people and not one of them had any COVID. It was all the flu. So they're suing them now for this farce. I didn't waste a second. I picked up the nearly empty syringe and made chase. I don't recall how many floors I ran up, nearly reaching her several times. Finally, just as she burst through the rooftop door, I managed to jab her with the needle on the left buttock. That stopped her on a dime. She spun around, looking shocked that I had managed to survive her surprise attack vaccination on me, and kept up with her all the way to the rooftop, and had now successfully injected her with her own poison, letting out a cough almost immediately after getting injected. she asked with a confused grimace. How? I chuckled back. Don't you know I'm immune? Well, okay, that is cool. But anyway, by faith in the promise of our Psalm 91 protection, we are immune to all the attacks of the enemy. But you have to believe it, right? And this enemy obviously is attempting to destroy us. Exodus 15 and 26. Listen what the Lord says. This is telling you, you need to repent and believe. Okay. Exodus 15, 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. All right. So remember the Passover in Egypt. The Lord was in control of the destroyer, and he wouldn't let it go into the righteous houses who had blood on the doorposts. But the destroyer took out the Egyptians. This is going to show who are Egyptians and who are not. You listen to what I'm saying now, okay? Because a lot of people think they're Christians and they're just Egyptians. Okay, here's Claire Pienaar's vision on 5/19/21. The bride and the man-child heal with the angelic host. Amen. I had a vision while I was driving. I first heard my mother-in-law's voice, and she said, it's really going to be so bad here. I don't know how we'll get out of this. She says, my mother-in-law represents the institutional apostate church who put themselves under all kinds of laws and have no faith in the promises of God's word. So you know what happens? Well, they take the injection, right? Then I saw the hospital she was talking about. There were people on gurneys everywhere, and everything was white. Okay. Well, we know many of God's elect are sick physically and spiritually because of unbelief in the healing power of God. And all they had to do is read the Bible. Matthew 13 and 58. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's right. Because of their unbelief. Then with a mighty rush of wind, Angelica Garza, Rion, and I walked through the hospital doors, dressed in all white. And she puts in parenthesis, Angelica represents the angelic hosts or messengers. I represent the bride, as my name means brilliant, and Rion represents the man-child, as his name means little king. Okay. There was a strong bond between Angelica, Rion, and I. She gives Hebrews. Oh, no, she didn't give that. We put that. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, we are the ones who are to dispense God's healing. We're called upon to do that. These ministering spirits minister through us. They have different gifts, by the way, and they minister through us those gifts. Amen. Rion had a white suit on, like the one he wore to our wedding. and Angelica and I were in white flowing dresses. Our palms were relaxed next to our sides, but facing up and out towards the people. We were looking at each other and laughing, and we had pure joy. Rion was ahead of Angelica and I, and he beckoned us to do what he was doing and to follow him, kind of like Jesus did with the disciples. This is the way you do it, boys. He showed them. And when Jesus comes back in the anointing of the man child for his bride, these ministries will bring physical and spiritual healing to the people, just as happened in Jesus' first ministry here on earth. Because the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There is no new thing under heaven, right? Well, what about this Jesus coming back as this anointing, right? Hosea 6, 2, and 3 tells us this very plainly. After 2 days, or 2,000 years after Jesus, right, will he revive us? Okay, because there's been a great falling away, as everybody can see that has any eyes to see. And on the third day, that's the millennium, right, the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live before him. He will raise us up from our fallen position as apostates, right? And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. So it's the morning of the third thousand-year day, right? Yep. And he will come unto us. How is he going to come unto us? Some people think he's going to come in the sky at the beginning of the tribulation period. He is not. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He is coming as a powerful anointing on the man-child ministry. You'll remember that Jesus was the only one that had that anointing. It was called the former rain in his time, and he was the man-child. And now we're looking at a corporate man-child because he has to reach the world here. And the latter rain is falling on them first, because God wants their attention upon these people. They have the truth. They have the anointing. They are spiritually the born-again church. And now they have to bring everybody else into that position. Rion started touching people, and they were healed. They jumped up. I don't know what afflictions they had, but they were joyful and happy. It was wonderful. And then the vision ended, and I continued driving. The hair on my arms was standing straight up when I had this vision, and my eyes were teary. I thought, this shows how it will be soon. The angelic host will be with the man-child and the bride, and they will be healing and will be unparalleled in joy doing the bidding of the Father. And, by the way, who needs med beds, right? The med beds won't be able to compete with what Jesus is going to do, I'm telling you. He's going to restore, as Joel chapter 2 talks about, everything that's been stolen from God's people through this great falling away. He's going to restore it. Except the latter rain is greater than the former rain, and we will see miracles that they never even saw in the former rain. It's still going to be Jesus doing them, but it's his anointing coming upon the people who have been obedient and are walking in justification by faith and are walking in holiness, right? Amen. Well, Malachi 4, 2 and 3 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. And you shall go forth and gamble as the calves of the stall." You've seen them. They've been penned up, those calves. They've been penned up waiting for a day when they're free to go out and run in the field, right? And suddenly they explode. "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says the Lord of hosts." And God's going to laugh, just like they were, laughing and joying in the Lord, right? Yes, a great and mighty and powerful move of God is coming, like the world has never, ever seen. Some people don't believe there's a revival coming. They think it's going to be bad news all the way up to the end. Oh, no. It will be for a lot of people. But there's going to be many people that are going to enter into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which most of the church has rejected up until this day. Yeah. And they don't know what they're missing. They're missing out on the great faith that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit, the healings that come with the power of the Holy Spirit. For goodness sake, stick your head out the window of your church and look around and just look at the people who have told you about their healings. And you just passed it away like it was a bunch of baloney, you know, because you had your religious spirit. Listen to those people. Listen to them tell you about what the Holy Spirit did for them after they received the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit did through them after they received the Holy Spirit. Listen to them. They're sharing with you a testimony that agrees with Scripture. Read the book of Acts, you who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Read it. You will find it doesn't look much like the church of our day. 95% probably at least of the people in our day have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which they were commanded to do by the Lord. In fact, he told them, "Now you don't go anywhere. You just stay right here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father." And that was the Holy Spirit of God himself, comes in to do the work, which we can't do. We can't do without him. You know, the people who are not filled with the Spirit, they have to be, they are just totally reliant upon their own abilities, because the power of the Holy Spirit is given to the people that obey him, the Bible says. Okay. So we need this where we're going. We need this. In fact, we need it now. Look at how many people who are spirit-filled that do not trust these depopulationists to give you a vaccine. Can you just imagine that? That you would trust anybody like that rather than Jesus, who said he will put none of these diseases upon you? But if you don't trust him, you don't get it. He said, "Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you." If you're an unbeliever, even the people in his own hometown could not receive what he had to give because of their unbelief. And so he did know many mighty works there. Okay. So there's just the same bunch of unbelievers are in the church today, except it's not the church. Church means the called out ones. Jesus called those disciples out of dead religion and all the dead denominations of Judaism. He called them out to come out because there's a religious spirit ruling over that. It's an imposter spirit. It claims to be God. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord." Like the bride in Song of Solomon, she had to worship beside the shepherd's tents, not in them, right? She led her flock beside the shepherd's tents. And that's the bride we're speaking about. And she was persecuted by the religious people, persecuted and hated by them. She was right, they were all wrong. And so it has been throughout history. If you're following one of these cults, of course they say we're a cult because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in all the things that the book of Acts tells us we can have. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Have you been a witness? Maybe you're not a witness because you're not filled with the Spirit. Or maybe one time you were filled with the Spirit and you may still speak in tongues even, but you don't feel the Spirit, the anointing, to talk to people about the Lord. He said, you'll be my witnesses. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And, of course, those early disciples, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, by the way. Go back and check. And then they went out. In fact, Jesus said, now don't you go anywhere. You stay right here until you receive the promise of the Father, and then go. He said they weren't qualified to go out and do any ministry for him without the gifts of the Spirit that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They weren't qualified, and you're not qualified either if you don't have that. You're leaning upon your mind. And even your religion is all man, mind made, right? That's all they can do. Oh, but look how wonderful, David. Look at this building, you know. I said, well, you go look at some of the Catholic churches if you want to. They were humongous and beautiful. Sepulchers, the Lord called them. Full of dead men's bones. Amen. Well, Father, we need you. It's you that lives the Christian life in us, and we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And Lord, along with the Holy Spirit comes faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't know how to be in unbelief. And people who are filled with the Spirit believe what the Bible says. And since they believe it, they know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning he still heals, he still casts out demons, he still uses all the gifts of the Spirit. It's still Jesus. And if you've bought anything else, you got another Jesus and another gospel and another Spirit, as Paul said. And that's what most people have. So since this is a rebellion, an anarchy against the truth of God's word, that's why God's angry, and he has to make a change, and he's going to bring judgment, and you need to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We know you love us. That's why you tell us these things. That's why your word is plain. Father, put it in the heart of your people to read the New Testament. Read it. Compare it to their religion. And let's see who wins. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Amen.